we were speaking yesterday about two categories of psulei edus. And the question was, how do you read the pasuk? The pasuk says, we saw it inside yesterday, al toshes rasha ed chavos. But if you take a look at Rashi here in Sanhedrin on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, when he speaks about this long list of psulei edus, Rashi says ke'ein me'ein gazlonim v'atora omra al toshes rasha ed. Rashi omits the word chavos. It's only when he gets to Sochrei Shvius that Rashi adds the concept of Rasha de Chavos by saying that there's Chibud Mamon, and for the sake of the love of money, he violates the Torah, in this case, the law of Kedusha Shvius, and sells Shvius in the public market. But whenever Rashi has Ke'ein Gzela, again, you know, Sochrei Shvius has nothing to do with Gzela. If he sells his fruits on the market, that's not Gzela. But whenever he's talking about Ke'ein Gzela, then Rashi says the psul is altashis rasha eid, and Rashi doesn't bother adding the word chamas. And therefore Rashi holds that a gazlan, we don't need rasha de chamas. In the case of, for example, a mumar who eats the vela, so there you're going to have to introduce the concept of chavos, that if he, for the sake of money, he'll eat nevela to save himself the money for kosher meat, such a person can be bought off and bribed, and we're afraid that he will falsify his testimony. That's called a rasha de chavos. He's possibly in this because of chavos. Chavos means the love of money. But in a case of a gazlan, according to Rashi, we don't have to introduce this second category of rasha de chavos. He is in violation of Gzela. And if he's in violation of Gzela, he's a Rasha. You talk about a person who's Ochel de Velos, and that Rishus, and that Iser of Achilus the Vela has nothing whatsoever to do with Mammon. Then we have to introduce Rasha to Chavos and say, well, we can buy him off because he's willing, for the sake of saving money, to eat the Velos. That's a psul of Chavos. But as long as Rashi is sticking to the original category of Ke'ein Gzela, he doesn't introduce Rasha de Chavos. So that's the opinion of Rashi. Then we mention the opinion of the Rambam. In Perek Yud Milchus Eidus, the Rambam tells us that Rishayim are psulimli Eidus min HaTorah. And the Rambam says, who is a Rasha? Someone who violates an aver for which he's chayv malchus. Then the Rambam in Perek, in that same Perek Yud, but in Halacha Dalet, tells us that there are Rishayim who are possibly in this, even though they're not chayv malchus, which is called a lavanitek liese or lavanitek litashlumin. And on that list, he has gazlonim and ganovim, and he says they are possible because of Rasha de Chamas. So as Rashi places Gazlan under the category of Rasha, the Rambam can't do that. He doesn't have the luxury of doing so because since Gzela is a lav hanitak l'tashlumin and there's no Malkus, it would not be possible to disqualify this aid who's a Gazlan under the halach of Rasha, because Rasha only applies when he's chayv Malkus. Therefore, the Rambam has to break new ground in the case of Gazlan and subsume him under the category of Rasha de Chamas, even though there's no Malkus for the Avera of Gzela. It's a Lava Nitak Leesei, Lava Nitak Letashlumin, but nevertheless, it passels him for Eidus when he violates Gzela, and that's because of Rasha de Chamas. So Rasha de Chamas is a separate category which is coming to include thieves, who technically would not come under the psul of Rasha because they don't get Malkus. So just to summarize once again, for the third time around, according to Rashi, a gazlan is possible to Taurus Rasha, whereas the Rambam says that we cannot passel a gazlan to Taurus Rasha because he's not chayv Malkus, and that's because of the nature of the law of Gzela. we can only pasul gazlan, says the Rambam, under this new category, which is called Rosh HaDechamas. That's what we saw on page Yud Ches before we introduced the Sefer HaTumim of Rabbi Yonasan Ivershitz. In his work, he claims that when we talk about a lav and whether you chayv malchus or not, and there are various technical rules that apply to exempt you from malchus, for example, what's called a lav anitek lasaris mises bezdin, and then we have a lav anitek liese, we have a lav shebo maisa. There are many, many different categories of lavim that are not what's called dumya de lav de chasima, and therefore they don't get malchus. So this can be very relevant to the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that you're only a Rasha to passel yourself for Eidus if you're a Rasha for violating a law that generates malchus. So here's where the Tumim comes up with his breakthrough Shita. And he says it's not all mikshachas. You can't just generalize and say, well, everything is equal, everything is uniform. If there's no malchus, there's no Rasha, there's no psul Eidus. No. It really depends upon how you categorize this exception to malchus. Why is he exempt from malchus? For example, in the case of lav anitek lasaris mises bezdin, there we're going to say that the lav is adarav, it's more chomer than malchus. On the other hand, in the case, for example, of a lav she'ein bo maisa, there we're going to say the reason why there's no malchus is because it's an avera kala, kala with a kuf. So we don't have the page from yesterday. Maybe it's there in the archives. Okay. I don't know, Mitch, if you recall the Tumim. The Tumim wanted to say there's a whole hierarchy of lavim which don't generate malchus. In certain cases, they don't generate malchus because of the chumras havera. In other cases, they don't generate malchus because of the hakola, the kula, the havera. For example, lav anita lazharis mises bezdin, you don't get malchus because it's more chamur. In the case of a lav shebo maisa, you don't get malchus because it's less chamur, it's more kal than your classic lav de chasima, what we call. And the nafkamina, he says, is very basic. Whether or not there's going to be a psul rasha, according to the Rambam, in a case of someone who violates a lav when there is no malchus. If you're talking about a case where he doesn't get malchus because of the hakola, the kula of the avera, then Enochinami, the Rambam, would say he's not a Rasha and he's not possibly Enos. If on the other hand you're talking about a lav which doesn't generate malchus because it's more chamur, and that's why you technically you're exempt from malchus, then you would be possible as a Rasha. In other words, the Avera per se, if we can identify its essence, is an Avera of Malchus. You don't get Malchus for a reason because it's too chamur. It's like Ein Onshin Min HaDin. It's not good enough to give him Malchus, so we don't give him Malchus. And now the Tumim embarks on an entire analysis of what's called a Lav HaNitakli essay. And that's going to be most relevant to us when we talk about a gazlan. A gazlan is in violation of lo sigzol, which is a lav hanitakli esse. The Torah says, v'heshev sakzela asher gazal. And a lav that has the possibility of an esse afterwards, meaning when you violate it, if you violate the lav, then the Torah imposes upon you an esse to rectify the lav. You don't get malchus for such a lav. And at this point, the Tumim claims that a lav she'ein lav hanitak le'ese, where there's no malchus, nifsal li'edus, he would be posel li'edus, da havi le lota segomur shalokin olav. In other words, the reason why you don't get malchus is not because the avera is not an avera which generates malchus, but rather the Torah says, go ahead and fix up that avera. The Torah gives you the opportunity to rectify the lav. But the lav per se, if we isolate it, is a lav sheyesh bo malchus. In contrast to a lav sheyesh bo maisa, where there was no action, that's a lav which wouldn't generate malchus. Now, if we accept the Tumim, then we begin to understand Shitas Rashi. Let's again review for the fifth time Machlokas Rashi the Rambam. Rashi claims that Gzela would generate a Psul Eidus under the law of Rasha. The Rambam couldn't possibly accept that, we said, and therefore the Rambam, in the case of a Gazan, has to introduce a new category of Psul Eidus, which is called Rasha the Chavos. Because as far as the first category of Rasha, the Rambam requires a Lav Sheyesh Bo Malkus. And in the case of Gzela, so far as it's a Lav Ani Takliese, there is no Malkus. So what's Rashi going to do? Rashi actually derives and classifies the case of a Gazlan as a Rasha. He only introduces Lav of Chavos, a Rasha of Chavos, when he gets to Sofrei Shvius. But when he speaks about Gazlan, the Rambam, Rashi has Gazlan as a Psul of a Rasha. I is no Malkus. So now with the Tumim, we have a beautiful understanding of Rashi. Because the Tumim says that a lav anitak liyase, like Zela, is a lav which in and of itself would generate Malkus. It has all the trappings, all the chumra, the stringencies of a lav as far as Malkus is concerned. But the Torah gave you an option. And the Torah says, go ahead and fix up the lav. In that sense, the Torah was compassionate and offers you an opportunity to circumvent the Malkus. But the lav per se, and we'll soon see that if you don't take advantage of this opportunity to be menatik the lav by fulfilling the essay, you will get malchus for this lav. It's a lav sheyesh bo malchus, and therefore Rashi subsumes gazlan under the psul of Russia. Ein is no malchus. The answer is the tumim. It's more chomer than malchus, or at least as chomer as malchus. But now we're a little bit stuck, and Mitch, I think you pointed this out yesterday. And this is the end of the first main paragraph on page Yutes, the last three lines. Ulam Rambam Sover, the Lav de Gzela Mikri Averisha Eino Leha Malkus, the Eila Postel as Agazlan, Mitam Rasha El Mitam Rasha de Chavos. And now we're wondering, why wouldn't the Rambam, based on the logic of the Tumim, subsume a Gazlan under a Rasha? Forget about Rasha the Chamas. He's a Rasha because he violated a Lav Sheyesh Bo Malkus. There is no Malkus. So why do I call it a Lav Sheyesh Bo Malkus? Because I'm saying that the Torah was compassionate and offered him an essay as a replacement for the Malkus. But if there is no essay, if there would be no essay, if he refuses to fulfill the essay, then Enochinami, he will get Malkus for Gzela. So you see that Gzela in and of itself is a Lav Sheyesh Bo Malkus. So why does the Rambam feel compelled to introduce the category called Rasha the Chamas in the case of a Gazlan? And that was in Perek Yud Halacha Dalid on the previous page. Why not be happy with Rashi and say that Gazlan is in violation of a Lav Sheyesh Bo Malkus, and therefore he's possible with Torah's Rasha? Why does Rambam feel compelled to introduce a whole new category called Rasha the Chamas, which means that he's willing, you know, to sell his grandmother at any price as long as he gets mama, and he's willing to violate any avera for the sake of mama? That's called the Rasha the Chamas, Chemdes mama. And the Gazlan is willing to steal someone's valuable possessions for the sake of mama, and therefore he might be suspect of perjuring himself in Eidus. Why does Rebbe need that? Why not just call him a Rasha? And there is Malkus, according to the Tumim. So now, just that we should all be on the same page, here's where we got up to yesterday. We're on the bottom of the right column here on page Yutes. The paragraph that starts Vehide on the bottom, not the top Vehide, but the second Vehide. In this Sefer called Gurus Yitzchak, every other paragraph starts with the word Vehide. So I can't just tell you to look at Vehide. The Tumim writes that a Lav Anitak Lase is called an Aver Sheyesh Bo Malkus. And here the Tumim adds another statement, which we're going to really take under the, you know, the magnifying glass and analyze. So just by way of introduction, there's machlokes in Masechta Makos Daf Tesvav between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says bitlo velo bitlo, which you'll see on line 3 in this paragraph, so you may want to underline the words bitlo velo bitlo. And Reish Lakish disagrees, and he holds, like you'll see on the second line, kimo velo kimo. So it works like this. According to Reish Lakish, kimo velo kimo means that when he violates a lav hanita kliyese, he really should get malchus. But we're going to give him an option, and we're going to ask him, are you in the mood to rectify your lav and be mekayim the essay? Take for example, if you're familiar with the case of Ma'anes, which I discussed here in this room not long ago, the Torah says that he has to marry her. So he raped a Dara, that she was a psula, and so forth and so on. He has to marry her. Then he went ahead and divorced her, and he violated a lav. Now he has to remarry her again. So that's called a lav anitak liyesei. Reish Lakish says, you know what? If he divorces his wife illegally, in violation of the law, we will give him malchus, unless he steps up to the plate and he's willing to be mekayim the essay and remarry her. If he is not willing to do so, then he'll get malchus. That indicates clearly that the law of hanitak liyesei is called an aver sheyesh bo malchus. Now we have Rabbi Yochanan. That's more complicated. Rabbi Yochanan says bitlo velo bitlo, which means that he has to do an act in order to get malchus for the aver of a lav anitak liyesei. He has to do another action, so to speak, violate another aver. What does he have to do? He has to be mevatel liyesei. He has to actively make it impossible to fulfill that essay. The classic case of Rabbi Yochanan is the case of Lo Yuchal Lakachas Sa'em al Bina, Shalach Tashalach Sa'em. And what he does is he takes the mother together with the fledglings, the little eggs, the little birds, and he violates this law. And the Torah says, in this case, it's a law of Nitak Liyesei, Shalach Tashalach Sa'em. And the Gemara goes into detail how we see that this pasuk is referring to an essay after he violates the law. Says Rabbi Yochanan, when he violates this law and he takes the mother with the fledglings, he will not get malchus unless he's mevatel the essay, which means he makes it impossible for him to send away the mother bird. He shechts the mother bird. Now, in the case of Ma'anes, where he divorced her illegally, it's very difficult to imagine that he would be mevatel liyesei and make it impossible for him to remarry her, unless he murders her. But the Gemara says that he takes what's called a neder al das rabin. Yeah, that's a whole sugya to itself, not for us today. But in any event, he takes a neder that he won't marry this woman, Aldas Rabin, a public neder. And in such a case, he has excluded from himself the possibility of remarrying her after he divorced her. So there's no possibility of a bittul. There's no possibility of an essay because he was mevatel the essay. Or in the case of Gzela, he takes the object that he stole and he burns it. So you have to know, that might make it into a bittul essay. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying the following: for the violation of a lav anitak liyesei in and of itself, you will not get malchus. But if you added salt, if you added insult to injury, and in addition to violating the lav, you were mevatel the essay, which means you actively made it impossible to fulfill the essay, then you'll get malchus. Now let's go back to the drawing board. In the case of Gzela, is that an Avera Sheyesh Bo Malchus or is it not? The Tumim says it's an Avera Sheyesh Bo Malchus. Bein lo man diomer kimo velo kimo, ubein lo man diomer bitlo velo bitlo. Let's analyze this. Bishleim, I understand the Tumim in the case of kimo velo kimo, which means that he's Chayv Malchus, he could override or spare himself to malchus if he's mekayim the essay. That's called kimo velo kimo. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, for the violation of the lav per se, in the case of a lav anitak liyesei, he is not chayiv malchus. He's only chayv malchus if he goes ahead and he's mevatel the essay. And that's what I think he's pointing out over here. Ulam yesh ladun ulechalek. How can the tumim club this all together, clustering together both kimo velo kimo bitlo velo bitlo? We can really make a fundamental distinction between the two. Now, in order to understand how he, the Gvuras Yitzchak, demonstrates this fundamental difference between the two, between Reish Lakish's bitlo, Reish Lakish's kimo velo kimo, and Rabbi Yochanan's bitlo velo bitlo, let's add the following introduction. If a person has to violate two actions in order to be Chayv Malchus, he needs both Act A and Act B. Like, for example, Rabbi Yochanan in Bitlo Velo Bitlo, he needs both the violation of the law and the Bitl essay, which he actively makes it impossible to fulfill the essay. Such a case, by definition, is called Hasra Safik. Why? Because since he needs the second action, so the time that he implemented the first action, the Asra is a suffix. We don't know whether or not he'll implement the second action and therefore make his Avera into an Avera. And we're not going to say Lamafreya, Igloi Milsa, that now we see after he violates the second Avera, which is called the Bittul Essay, now Lamafreya, we're going to say, well, when he violated the Lav, then he was definitely going to be Mavatul the Essay. And that would make his Hasra into Hasra's Vada. It's not Hasra's Vada. It remains Hasra's Sofek. So how then could Rabbi Yochanan possibly say that if he's Mevatel the essay gets Malchus, this is a case of Hasra's Sofek? Because when he violated the law, there's no one in the world who can predict for sure, with certainty, that he'll be Mevatel the essay. So the Gemara says that Al Korcheinu, we have no choice but to assume that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Hasra Sofik Shmei Hasra, that even if I give you Hasra which is questionable, it's tenuous, we don't know if that Hasra will ever go into play or not, because maybe there will be a fulfillment of the conditions, maybe not, and that makes it into Hasra Sofik, Rabbi Yochanan nevertheless says Hasra Sofik Shmei Hasra. So I can give you Hasra and say, look, if you do this and then you'll do that, you'll be Chayav Malchus. I can in a sense lump these two Maisim under one Hasra. That's called Hasra Safek Shmei Hasra. Reish Lakish rejects Rabbi Yochanan of Bitlo Velo Bitlo for this very reason, because Reish Lakish holds Hasra Safek Lav Shmei Hasra. How could you possibly get Malchus if you hold Bitlo Velo Bitlo? Bitlo Velo Bitlo means he needs a second action in order to be Chayav, a Bitl essay. That hence makes it into a Hasra Safek. And Reish Lakish holds Hasra Safek Lav Shmei Hasra. So Rashi explains, and this you'll see four lines up before the end of the paragraph on the right, that Rabbi Yochanan must be holding Hasra Safek Shmei Hasra. And therefore, every case of Olama Nitak Liesei Koy to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Bitlo Velo Bitlo, is by definition Hasra Safek. Because when he violates the Lav, and we have to give him Hasra at the time of the violation of the Lav, we don't know that he's going to be Chayav Malchus even if he violates this Hasra. Because the total violation of the Lav depends upon Bitl Esei. Will he be Mevatel the essay? Will he not be Mevatel the essay? We don't know. No one can predict that. And therefore, it's Hasra Safek. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Hasra Safek Shmei Hasra. Or, for example, in the case of Gerushin, when he divorced his Nusa, it's a Safek when he divorced himself, because maybe he won't be Mevatel the essay, like we said before, take a neder, whatever it might be. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, holds Hasra Safek Lav Shmei Hasra. Therefore, he cannot possibly accept Bitlo Velo Bitlo to give a Malchus after he's Mevatel the essay, because by definition, we're talking about a Hasra Safek. And Rashi explains that the Gmar Averis Halav, according to Bitlov Lo Bitlu, is only when he's Mevatel the Esek. So when are you going to give Masra? However, according to Reish Lakish, who holds Kimo Velo Kimo, it's Asra's Vadai. He can go ahead afterwards and be Mekayim the Esek and rectify his Averis Halav. That is true. But as far as the Chiyuv Malkus is concerned, the Averis Halav per se, in and of itself, generates a Chiyuv Malkus. When he gets to Beis Din, you know, he may get smart and, smarten up a little bit and decide to be Mekayim the Esek. And hence he will alleviate himself of Malkus. But the Averis Halav per se generates Malkus. The Asra that I give you at the time of the Averis Halav is Asra's Vadai. And that's according to Reish Lakish. All this is based on Rashi in Masechta Makos. And the bottom line of this whole Rashi is that if we hold Kimo Velo Kimo, then the Averis Halav is complete and he's Chayav Malkus. It's only that the Torah, as we said before, was compassionate and allowed him another option to implement an essay and then exempt himself from Malkus. But in the absence of the essay, if he stands at Beis Din and he tells the Dayanim, I refuse, I will not be Menatek the Lav, then at that moment he gets Malkus for the Lav. That makes it into Asras Vadai, but more important, that means that the Lav itself is a Lav Sheyesh Bo Malkus. Hence, I understand the Tumim within the framework of Reish Lakish. That Enoch Hinami, in this, remember we spoke about this hierarchy in the various enumerated cases where there is no Malkus, some are above the line because they're more chomer, some are below the line, they're more mekil. I can understand the Tumim's point about Lav Anitek Liesei according to Reish Lakish. Why? Because Reish Lakish holds Kimo Velo Kimo, which means that the Averis Halav generates Malkus. He can then be Menatek the Lav and free himself from the Malkus. But as far as the Chiyuv Malkus is concerned, that's established by the Averis Halav. If you ask me, is he Chayav Malkus according to Reish Lakish? The answer is yes. Later the situation might change if he takes the Rabbanon, the Beis Din, up on their option and says, I will fulfill the essay. But up until that point, he's Chayav Malkus. And therefore he's a soul of Russia, and you don't need Chumash. That makes sense according to whom?
To Rashi.
But I'm saying Rashi within whom? Within which Shita? Reish Lakish, who holds Kimo Velo Kimo. Then the Tumim fits like a glove. That the Averis Halav is complete, and it generates Malkus, just that the Torah gave him an option of being Menatek the Lav by fulfilling the essay. But then when we get to Rabbi Yochanan, it's much more complicated than that. Rabbi Yochanan is not saying that the Averis Halav generates Malkus. No, on the contrary. It's the Averis Halav together with what? With the Bittul Essay that generates Malkus. If that be the case, that the Avera itself per se does not generate Malkus, then the Gazlan should not be Pasul Yedus B'Toras Rasha. So that's what he writes here on the left column, I would say about 9 lines down or 8 lines down from the top. He says, Masha Eke Lamai Diyomar Bitlo Velo Bitlo. If we go with Rabbi Yochanan, is Gmar Halav Toli B'Bitlo Essay. It's only when he does that action of Bittul Essay, he slaughters the bird, or destroys the object that he stole, only at that moment is he Chayav Malkus. But calls much a Bittul Essay, if he's lacking the second half of the equation, and he hasn't yet been Mevatel the Essay, is Lo Nigmar Alav, the Lav is incomplete. And therefore he doesn't get Malkus. He only get Malkus after he violates the essay. It makes the essay impossible. Therefore, it's always going to be Asra Suffolk, but moreover, we're now classifying the Lav of lav anitek, let's say below the malchus level, because in and of itself the averus halav would not generate malchus. Another halacha bitlo v'lo bitlo, that the bitla essay is going to generate malchus. Ulefize yesh lomar, the dafka lamad diomer kibo v'lo kibo mikri lav hanitek liyese lav shechayovim oleha malchus. Avolamad diomer bitlo v'lo bitlo came into b'shasha over avera. Aver salav lo nigmar, and therefore he's not chayv malchus, and that's why we call it asra sofek. Is ein lo poslo mitam shekol rasha posliyedus, and why? Because the rasha violated a lav sheish po malchus. That's not true in the case of a lav hanitak lesei according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds bitlo. Below bitlo, the averus halav is not complete until he's mevatel liyese, and he's not chayv malchus until he's mevatel liyese. So you cannot pinpoint the averus halav as a moment in which he's chayv malchus. He's not chayv malchus. He hasn't done enough to generate malchus. Well, if that be the case, it's like a lav shem of maisa that we discussed earlier. It's on a lower level than a lav sheish bo malchus, and therefore, according to that madior, which is Rabbi Yochanan, who holds bitlo v'lo bitlo, the conclusion that we have to derive is that this gazlan would not be posel yedus under the lav of under the category of gazlan of Russia. Why? Because he's not chayv malchus. That would be the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So it's really interesting that if we accept the approach of the Tumim, then the only way we can justify Rashi's shita that a gazlan is a rasha, which means that a gazlan is chayv malchus for the gzela, is only if we assume that Rashi accepted Reish Lakish, which is kibo below kibo. But then he writes in the next paragraph, Lefize Yeshlom de Rashi, Rashi subsumes Gazlan under the psul of Rasha. That's because Rashi accepts the Shita Reish Lakish of Kibo Velo Kibo. And therefore, if you hold Kibo Velo Kibo, the Lav generates Malchus. However, the Rambam, and we have to know where this Rambam is, but the Rambam somewhere in the face of the universe, Paskins like the Madio Rabbi Yochanan of Bitlo Velo Bitlo. And if you don't believe me, then take a look at the Sma in Choshe Mishpat Siman Tzadi Zion. Is Lididei, according to the Rambam, who accepts the Shita Rabbi Yochanan, which means that you're not Chayv Malchus for the Lav, unless you're Mevatel Liyese, is then we cannot passel the Gazlan under the category of Russia without Chomos, meaning classic Russia. Because classic Russia means he violated a lav sheish bo malchus. Now we're holding bitlo, velo bitlo. So a lav anitek liyese is not a lav that generates malchus, and therefore, hence there could be no psul of Russia. So if the Rambam in fact paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, then everything fits into place. All the pieces of the puzzle, it's a beautiful puzzle. Why? Because now the Rambam is going to say a lav anitek liyese is not a lav that would generate malchus, because he's holding bitlo velo bitlo. And if that be the case, we can now justify why the Rambam, in the case of a gazlan, was unable to classify a gazlan under the psul of Russia. The Rambam was compelled to introduce a whole new category of psul, which is called Russia de Chavos. And that's why a gazlan is possible. So this is really wild. I mean, if we would end the presentation here, it comes out to machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam as to whether a gazlan is classified as a psul rasha or only as a psul rasha the chavos, is basically dependent upon the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rashi reflects the shita of Reish Lakish that kibo v'lo kibo, hence the lav itself generates malchus. Rambam, on the other hand, paskins like
Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore bitlo v'lo bitlo, the lav per se is not going to generate malchus, and therefore there's no psul of edus b'toras rasha. Therefore, the Rambam is compelled to introduce a second category, which is called rasha d'chol. And now we're up to Vehide, which doesn't tell you anything. But it's the last Vehide on page Yutes. Rashi asks the following question. How does the Gemara know that according to Rabbi Yochanan, bitlo v'lo bitlo, the Asra is Asra Sofek? When do we give him the Asra? At the time of the Gzela, or at the time that he destroys the object? At the time that he took the mother bird with the fledglings, or at the time that he shechted the mother bird, he was mevatel the esser. Says Rashi, I have a simple solution. Why don't we just postpone the hasra until the moment of bittul esser? At that moment, it's hasras vada, because there's no question once he violated the ikar alav that if he now goes ahead and he's mevatel the essay for the act of bittul essay, he's going to be chayav malchus. Why not just give him asra at the moment of the bittul essay? Vitirates, and Rashi answers, Li'olam is on the third line, Hasra b'shasha over al azarasa b'inon. Vafilu hitluya v'davar acher. Notice what happens if you have an avera and you're only chayav malchus for violating that avera if you fulfill another condition. The case that Rashi quotes is lo ochal kikar zu im ochal zu. So he has two loaves of bread on the table, and he takes a shvua that he won't eat, we'll call it loaf A, if he eats loaf B. Maybe he's on a diet, he wants to guarantee himself that he won't eat both loaves, whatever it is. So he says, Shmuel shel ochal zu im ochal zu. So Rashi says that if you would give him a hasra at the top, right? So there are two moments in time, there's T1 and T2. He takes a shrua on Kikar Aleph, and he sets up a t'nai on Kikar Beis. Well, if you're going to give him asra at the time that he eats kikar aleph, that's a classic asra safek. Because how do you know he's going to eat kikar beis and fulfill his tnai? Why don't we offer him another option? Let's do the asra after he's already eaten kikar A, but before he eats kikar B. At that point, the asra is asra's vada. Do you follow? He already ate the first kikar, and now he's eating the second kikar. Then it's going to be absolutely clear beyond the shadow of a doubt that he violated his shvua, and therefore he should get malchus. No. Says Rashi, you cannot give him asra at the time right before he eats the second kikar, because hasra has to come at the moment of violating the ikar alav. The ikar alav is on the first kikar, not on the second kikar. The second kikar is called, in Rashi's language, a t'nai. And the hasra has to come before the avera, not before the t'nai. Rashi has an analogy to bitlo v'lo bitlo. And Rashi says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, bitlo v'lo bitlo, the bitl essay is only a t'nai. It's like the case im ochal zu. So when he steals something, or when he divorces his wife, whatever the lav is at that moment, he has violated the ikar alav. You want to say, well, we don't know if it'll be mevatel the essay or not. Give him asra at the time of bittul essay. There's no such thing as asra for the t'nai. The asra has to be on the ikar avera mechayemes, which is the moment that he stole. Because a hasra and a t'nai is not a hasra. A hasra always has to be attached to the avera. The avera that generates his malchus is the main avera, not the bitul ha'essay. So bitul essay, says Rashi, could never be the right moment for hasra. because bittul essay is just a tnai. It's not part of the mechayev itself. So all this is summarized here on the bottom of page Yutes in the name of Rashi in Masechta Makos. And if you take a look about five lines before the end of the paragraph, Alma from the halacha of Shmuel Shelo Ochal Zu Ochal Zu, we derive the conclusion that Asra has to be B'Shas Isur. Even though B'Shas Isur is no completion of the Isur, because we have to see if he'll fulfill the Tanai that generates the Isur, but nevertheless the Asra must come at the time of the Averis HaIsur. It's going to be an iffy kind of Asra, the likes of which only Rabbi Yochanan validates, because Rabbi Yochanan is committed to the view of Asra Sofek Shmei Hasra. However, the Rabban, quoted by the Ritva in Makkos, says that according to the Madiyom Bitlo Velo Bitlo, we should give him Asra at the time of the Bitl essay. And we should say to him that if he's going to be Mevatel the essay, he's going to be Chayev Malkus Lemafreya on the original Averis Halav. The Hashta, now we're moving on to page Chav, the Mata Zman Chiyuve. If you ask me at what moment in time is he Chayev, it's the moment that he fulfills the Tanai and he's Mevatel the essay, and the Hasra should come at the moment that he becomes Chayev for the Averis Halav. Even though, again, the Chiyuv is going to be L'mafreya, back to the moment that he did the Avera, when he stole, or when he divorced his wife, if she's an Anus, or whatever the case may be. But nevertheless, when is the Gavra Chayov? It's only at the time that he's Mevatel the essay. Udaha Koshale L'Rashi. Rashi could never have accepted the Ritva, because Rashi says you need a Hasra at the time of the Averis Halav, not at the time of the Kiyum HaTnai. V'Aksha, I'm probably not reading that word correctly, V'Aksha, just one second. Le'ahidelo Ochal Zuv, Ochal Zuv, Le'amani Hasra at Mishas Achilas HaTnai, Delo Dabi Klala Hasam. Very good. So the Ritva now has to face the question of Rashi. Rashi had a proof that you cannot have Asra at the time of the Bittul essay. What was Rashi's proof for the case in Shmua of Shmua Shel Ochal Zu Ochal Zu? And we cannot give him Asra at the time that he eats the Tanai and make it into Asra's Vada, the second Kikar. Therefore, says Rashi, here as well, we cannot give him a Asra at the time of the Bittul essay, because that's not the Averis Halav. Says the Ritva, there's no equation. In the case of two kikros, clearly the second kikar is nothing more than a tnai. There's no isur at all, there's no shmek of isur when he eats the kikar tnai. The kikar tnai was never part of his shmua, and he never enjoyed himself from eating the kikar tnai, and therefore he's not violating any sort of aver or any sort of lav when he eats the kikar tnai. That it's impossible to have Asra at the time of the Achila of the second Kikar, the Achilas Kikar Atanai. But not so in the case of Bittul Essay. Bittul Essay, according to Rabbi Yochanan, means that there are two parts to the Averis Halav. There's part A, which is the Avera of Gzela, or when he divorces his wife, who's an Anusa, but the Avera is not complete. The Bittul Essay is going to be migufo shel lotase. It's an integral part of the lotase. It's very interesting because in mitzvahs we very often have different parts to a mitzvah. Like let's say, for example, if you had the four minim of lulav on the table, you took them one after the other, you yotze, and there are four parts to the mitzvah. You only complete the mitzvah when you do all four parts. Some want to say that in matzah it's the same thing. You're only fulfilling matzah when you eat a kezias, and if you eat less than a kezias, that's only part of the essay. And the essay is made up of many different pu'ulos and many different segments and actions, which are completed when, bingo, you hit the kezias. But in Losa says, it's very rare to find a lotase that's made up of parts, of segments. And the Ritva claims that a lavanita kliese, according to Rabbi Yochanan, fits this exact category of a lav that is an incremental lav that is based on a sequence of various actions. But that final action, which is called bitul essay, is not something extraneous to the lav, like in the case of im ochal zu, where the second kikar is neutral, it's parva, it's a tnai. Here, the bitul essay is integrated into the ikar averis halav. And therefore, the next paragraph, which, by the way, does not start with the word vehide, it starts with the word hare, I don't know why. He says, Svirle l'Rabban da'asra b'shas bitul essay, that it's meaningful to give masra at the time of the bitul essay, because that's part of the averis halav. There's a lot of beautiful lumpness here. I don't know if you're enjoying this. Ubi gufo shalav, it's part of the averis halav. The averis halav is made up of two parts. Le'inyan malchus, he's only chayav malchus when he completes the averis halav by doing the second part of the gufo shalav, which is the bitul essay. Ubi shah shemavatlo nigmar chiyuvo le'malchus. Ulefi zed mira the eshlova de Rashi koi afla by the Omar bitlo velo bitlo. Until now, we assume that Rashi has to be in the camp of Reish Lakish kibo velo kibo. Nein, Rashi can accept the position of Rabbi Yochanan bitlo velo bitlo. If that be the case, then when he completes the aver salav at the time of bitul essay, at that moment he's chayav malchus. So that even Rabbi Yochanan would maintain that a lav anita klase is a lav shemachayeves malchus. Rashi, on the other hand, was of the opinion you have to split between what he calls the ikar avera and the tnai. Rashi understood the bitul essay according to Rabbi Yochanan is only a tnai. It's like the imochal kikar zu, the second kikar. So therefore, Rashi forced Asra to be at the time of the averis halav, not at the time of the bitul essay. But if we would go with the Ramban shita, that the bitul essay is a clincher in the averis halav, well, at that moment that he completes the averis halav, he's chayav malchus, and hence he would be a rasha without the category of chamas, simply because he violates a lav sheish bo malchus. Ach Rashi l'tamei shesover de bitul essay eino el etnai bi alma. We're going now according to Rabbi Yochanan of bitlo v'lo bitlo. Aval ikar achiyuv al aver salav is choshev lav anita kliyase aver shi yeshbo chiyuv malchus. What's he saying now? He's making a little bit of a turnaround here, and he's saying that if Rashi holds that the bitul essay is only a tnai, then we can begin to understand that the lav itself generates malchus. In other words, the ikar lav is an avera sheyeshba chiyuv malchus. Why? Because what we're saying according to Rabbi Yochanan, bitlo velo bitlo according to Rashi, is that the bitul essay is only a tnai. Now, if you want to ask whether this avera generates malchus, you go back to the ikar avera, the ma'isa ha'machayev. You're not concerned with the tnai. So we had assumed up until this point that according to Rashi, we could not identify Rashi with Rabbi Yochanan's bitlo v'lo bitlo. Rashi can only be explained exclusively through the prism of Reish Lakish's kibo v'lo kibo. That's not true. Because we made the mistake of thinking that since he needs the bitul essay, it means that the lav per se doesn't generate malchus. Now we're going to say something entirely different based on the Rashi about Asra. The Rashi says you cannot give him Asra according to Rabbi Yochanan at the time of the bitul essay because Asra has to be attached to the Avera. The Avera was the original action. Well, if the Avera was the original action, then that original action generates a chiyuv malchus according to Rashi. You see, the Ritva in the name of the Ramban could not accept this, because the Ritva in the name of the Ramban is going to have to wait until the Averis Halav is complete before he could be Chayv Malchus. That's called Bittul Esei. But according to Rashi, forget about Bittul Esei. When he violates the Lav, he's Chayv Malchus. He has violated a complete Lav. Why does he need Bittul Esei? That's called a Tanai. The Torah says that only under certain conditions do you get Malchus. Like in the case where a person takes upon himself a Tanayim Ochal Kikar Zu. So if we isolate the Avera per se, leaving out its Tanai, then we're talking about an Avera Shiyesh Bachi of Malchus, which means now we can justify why Rashi holds that a Gazlan who violated a Lav Hanitek Liesei should be classified under the law of Rasha, because fundamentally he is Chai of Malchus for the Avera of Gzela. Aye, it's a Lav Hanitek Liesei, Mahashiv is a Gzela. That's only for Kiyum HaTnai, but that's not incorporated essentially integrated into the essence of the Avera Mechayemis. The Avera Mechayemis generates Malchus, but this is a Tanai. Masha Eikei, according to the Ramban, that the Asra is at the time of the Bittul Esei, which means his man Chiyuv is not just when he violated the law, but when he was Mevatel the Esei, is then equal Shalav Zeh, is an integration of two actions, the Avera of the Lav plus the Bittul Esei, because the Bittul Esei according to Ramban is Bigufo Shalav, that we saw because the Ramban validates Asra at the time of the Bittul Esei, is in Kain Mishosh over Avera, when he did the original Avera, that's a halfway measure, he's only implemented one segment, the first stage of the Avera, Lo Choshev Avera Sheish Ba Malchus. Now again, you could always counter-argue that even the Ramban would classify it as an Aver Sheish Bo Malchus once you integrate both the Tchilas Avera and the Bittul Esei. But he's not willing to go in that direction. He wants to say that the Bittul Esei is a separate segment that's part of the Gufo Shalav. So then if we analyze and define clearly and precisely the original Avera that he did, stage one, when he stole or when he divorced his wife, that itself is an Avera She'ein Bo Malchus. Why? Because he has to complete the Avera with the Bittul Esei in order to complete the Avera, because the Bittul Esei is part of the Gufa Shalav. Hence, the Iker Shalav remains a Lav She'ein Bo Malchus, it wouldn't generate Malchus, and therefore the psul of a Gazlan would not be based on Russia, but rather based on Russia the Chalos. Alright, we'll stop here. So again, I'm going to take this embarrassing statement and say we're up to Vahine. Okay then? So everyone should have a great day. Wow, this is very, very profound.
The lumpness is terrific, but I can't ever imagine a situation where there are two aidim following around this guy after he eats the first kikar and giving him a warning before he eats the second kikar. It's just not going to happen. There's just never, practice.
So again, let's just calculate it. Rashi says that it's explicit that Asra at the time of the second kikar would not generate mal.
It's
purely, shall we say, academic or theoretical.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
but let's ask you the same question in the case of Gzela. Are the Eidim there not only at the time that he stole, but also the time that he destroys the object?
Even that's very improbable.
Because according to Rabban, if the Eidim are there for both, and they gave Masra before he destroys the object, he's going to be Chai Malchus. That's called Bidlo Velo Bidlo. And that's even if I hold Asra something Lav Shmei Asra, because now it's Asra's Vada.
But these are things that are not going to happen. It's
so now which we have to ask a different question. Could it be two sets of Eidim? Do we need the same set of Eidim for both the original Avera and for the Bittul Esei? Or we could have two sets of Eidim. So for that you really have to be alarmed, because that's a sugya called Dover Velo Chatzi Dover, where the Gemara says that two Eidim saw the hair on the front and two on the hair on the back, or two saw, the first year that he ate Chazokah, and then the other Eidim saw the second year that he ate Chazokah. Can we integrate these Eidim? Here I'd be tempted to think that according to the Ramban, we really have a problem of Dover Lo Chatzi Dover, because the Mechayev of Gufo Shalav is the Bittul Esei. Bittul Esei is part of that Ikra Mechayev. Okay then, I'm